You cannot run the race of works. You cannot run the race, and here are the rules. You cannot run a legal relationship with God and win. You're running by grace. If you get knocked down, then get right back up, because grace will get you back up.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. It's great that you've chosen to join us today for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the Epistle of Hebrews. Today, Pastor covers the first two verses of chapter 12. In this important chapter, the writer combines the two themes of athletics and citizenship. The atmosphere is that of the foot races in the arena. We can see the runners laying aside their training weights and striving to run their races successfully. Some get weary and faint, while others endure to the end and win the prize. Now, Pastor, with today's message, Learning to Run.
Hebrews chapter 12. You know, these verses are so familiar to us. Sometimes when they're being taught, you've heard it so many times, you've read it so many times, it goes over your head instead of back into your heart. Amen? We don't want that to happen this morning, because as we enter chapter 12, we're now nearly through with this incredible letter of exhortation, meaning a letter of encouragement written by, I believe, Paul the Apostle, to encourage the first century Jewish believers that have turned their back on Judaism and the law and the Levitical practices and sacrifices, and they have trusted Jesus Christ as their true Messiah and their great high priest. Amen? Now, when we left chapter 11, we have to remember that a theme was developing, and that theme is found now in chapter 12, and the theme is endurance. Say that word, endurance. In other words, we have a race to run, and we're going to do it in the power of steady, active, persevering faith in the promises of God, a God who cannot lie. So chapter 12, the theme, of course, is endurance, but it also contains the fifth warning, which we'll probably cover, the Lord willing, next Sunday. The fifth warning and the final warning found in the book of Hebrews. Now, we know that in chapter 11 that the Jews are now encouraged, the Jewish believers, just like we are, encouraged to look at them and follow their example, because they endured. No matter what they faced, did they quit? No matter the circumstances, no matter the cost, did they stop serving God? Did they stop loving God? Did they stop trusting in God? No, they lived and they ran the race. They all died in faith. They all died believing in God. Now listen, we already know this morning that the Bible teaches us so clearly we are believers. And if you are in Christ Jesus, there is only one way for you and me to live. And that is Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith. There's no other way. There's no other way to please God. No other way. If we turn away from that, God says, well, I love you, I've saved you, but my soul has no pleasure in you, because, well, you just can't please God without faith. You see, because you're saying, I don't believe your word. I don't believe your promises. And so this morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn to run the race. Is that okay? We're going to really just learning to run. How do we really do it? So in verses 1 through 2 that we're going to cover, there's only 79 words, okay? You can count them later. But there are 37 words that you have to embrace. It's commanded. You must, I must, the Church of Jesus Christ must embrace them. And if we will embrace these 37 words in these two verses, not only will we learn the way to run the race of faith, we will walk by faith, live by faith, and we will also have the adventure of faith. Now, that doesn't mean everything is perfect, but it does mean that in the valleys we have faith, on top of the mountain we have faith. Amen? So that's what this is all about. And we are not running the race, loved one, to win heaven, okay? Heaven is already ours. Heaven is already our home. If you were a believer in Christ this morning, and I know you are, listen, we are a small colony of heaven on earth. This earth is not our home. Amen? The Bible says we are citizens of heaven, not going to be. We're citizens of heaven right now. So we're not running to win heaven, because we're already sons and daughters of God, already citizens of heaven, co-heirs with Christ. Amen? Now, there are three things that we really want to look at this morning about running the race of faith. Three things that we really want to learn. The first one is to lay certain things aside, okay? We have to do that. It's not an optional. We'll never run the race unless we lay certain things aside. And then after those things are done, it says, let us run. But there's only way that you can run the race, and that's the third thing, and that is looking unto Jesus Christ. Amen? So this morning, let's learn, if you will, learning to run this great race that is before us, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we, the writer includes himself, the Jewish believers, and us as well, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, that's all of those in chapter 11. They ran the race, they died in faith, they're home, amen? But do they still speak to you and me? Yes, they do. They're recorded for us and for the Jewish believers of the first century and for every generation when we look at them, and they still speak to us. When you read chapter 11, the heroes of the faith, you have to say, they're speaking to me. They're telling me right now, listen, no matter the circumstances, no matter the cost, don't you ever quit following the Lord. You keep running the race of faith. Amen? Now, let's clear up a false doctrine immediately about this verse. This great cloud of witnesses, they are not spectators, okay? In other words, they're not watching you. They're not watching me. They're not watching the church. If they're watching us, the 21st century church, they're very bored, okay? Thank you, brother. Thank you. But I say, well, how are they bored? Are we subduing kingdoms? Did we shut the mouth of any lion? No, we're kind of a boring people. We watch the Dallas Cowboys. You know what I mean? No. So they're not spectators. So whenever somebody says, well, my family, I know they're with me. They're looking down on me right now. And I don't mean that in a bad, cruel way, but they're not looking at you. We're looking at them. Do you understand? So these people here, they are home. They are witnesses. And what are they telling us? They're telling us, they're bearing witness to us. They're testifying, listen, you by faith, you can face whatever this life throws at you as long as you trust the God that cannot lie. Amen? And that's what this is all about. However, we are witnesses to the lost, unbelieving world that we live in. They're watching you. They're watching me. They're watching the church. They don't like us very much either. Angels are watching us, and they're confused by most of us anyway. And we know that God is watching us, and He always sees everything that we do. Amen? So, with all of that being said, since we are surrounded, meaning as an example, here's what we are to do. Now, let's learn to run. Watch this. Let us, again, the author includes himself. He loves the Lord. Let us lay aside, strip off, take it away, every what? Weight. Now, listen very carefully. Now, in a moment, we're going to talk about sin. Here, we're talking about weight. There is a difference between weight and the sin we're going to talk about, okay? Very important that you see that. There's a difference between them. Now, with all of that being said, when it says to strip it away, get it off of you, it is a metaphor, if you will, or a painting a picture of the races, all right? So the first century Greeks, the first century Romans, when they ran a race, they would work out for like 10 months. They would be on a strict physical diet, and they would even wear weights. To, you know, remember if any of you ever ran track, or remember how you put weights on your legs, and I don't know if they do that anymore, but maybe they never did it, but it sounded good. And then it would increase your stamina, remember? Okay. Well, here's what they did. On the day of the race, they took everything off. In other words, they ran naked. Maybe they wore a Speedo. I don't really know. But let's put it this way. They didn't have much on. Why? They did not want one thing to hinder them from running the race or anything to slow them down. So when it says here, let us lay aside every wait, it becomes very personal to the believer, to every believer, because weights are not the same to every believer. Some things weigh this believer down, but it would never weigh this believer down. So you have to make a conscious decision yourself. This weight that you carry, whatever it might be in your personal life, is it going to hinder your race? Is it going to slow you down? And if it is, you have to lay it aside, or you won't be able to really run the race the right way. Now, with all of that being said, the thing about when we talk about weights, there are many weights in our life that are very pure and innocent, and they're not sin. Do you understand? It can still weigh us down, good things and so forth. Again, there's a difference between weight and sin. For example, you know, let's take sports. Do you like sports? You don't have to raise your hand or repent. I'm just, you know, sports are wonderful. Amen? But I mean, they can become a weight to you. I mean, if you know the name of every football player on the Dallas Cowboys, do they play tonight? Yeah, I know Prescott. I know. But you don't know, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You got a problem. Come on. See, that is what you call a weight, but sports are wonderful. Soccer, I mean, today, man, people, kids, soccer's big in America. Did you know that? Yeah, because parents are gone every Sunday from church while their kids play soccer. So, I mean, I'm not beating anybody. I'm just telling, it could be a weight. How about this one? You might have it at home. It's called Netflix, Nitwit. What's it called? Well, listen, Nitwit, can it devour your entire evening? Huh? Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have people come to me and say, I did binge watching. I watched 5,000 hours of blah, 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 blah. Didn't sleep, didn't eat. And, you know, I'm just joking. But no, they do that. You know, that binge movies, you know? I mean, would that be kind of a weight if that's all a person? Of course. And, I mean, we have a lot that we could mention. How about playing video games? I don't think playing video games is a sin. Maybe. I've never played video games. Well, I did in the 60s. It was called Pac-Man. I don't remember much how to play it because, you know, it was the 60s. But the thing about it was, is playing video games, it's not wrong, but if you play it to where it robs your family time or your time with God, it comes away, wouldn't you say? So you got to be aware of those things. Doesn't mean it's bad. How about scrolling the internet? You know, I got to get that thing for my wrist because it's crippled my fingers. I mean, you know, or you're a news junkie. I can say that I'm probably a news junkie, you know? But now I'm getting better at it now that I'm 40, 50, I'm getting better. Now, how about this one? Having money. Now, money's not bad. Is having money a sin? No, it's the love of money, right? But here's the thing. If you're going to run a race, would you run with bags of gold on you? Well, of course not, you know? I mean, you think it'd weigh you down? Well, ask Judas if you don't believe me, okay? Of course it would weigh you down. Now, money doesn't help you run the race of faith, by the way. Maybe make you feel more comfortable as you run it, but it doesn't help you, all right? I read a story about Alexander the Great when he was advancing on Persia to conquer it. You know Alexander the Great conquered the world, right? I mean, he was a master. And so his troops, they were not winning. And so he realized they were all weighted down with plunder that they were actually had on them from all the other countries that they had defeated. And they were just, it was all over them, money, silver, gold, they were dragging this and dragging that. And they were weighted down and they were losing. So you know what Alexander did? He commanded that all of his army, every person, that they put all of the booty, all of the plunder in one big pile, and then he set it on fire and burned it to the ground. Whew. Were they upset? You better believe it. However, when they went into battle with Persia, history records for us, the army said, we have never been so light-footed and not weighed down, and they demolished Persia. Do you understand? So being weighed down, do you know that's important even in natural life? Do you know that right now, even the commercial airlines, they're weighing passengers? Not all of them, but it's in the process of happening. And do you know why? Well, let me tell you. Because we're having such extreme heat in the atmosphere And what happens is the air is so dense, it interferes with the lift of the plane as it takes off. And so they have to know the weight, the exact weight in the plane, because they don't want to crash. They have to get that lift. Normally, I don't know how it is today, but back when I flew all the time, I always clocked it, and I knew it was 134 miles an hour, and that's when you took off. That was the speed. Now, today, I don't really know what it is. It may be just 150. But what I am saying is that things can weigh you down. So it says to do something. It calls for each of us, me, you, if you love the Lord Jesus, he says this. He says, listen, you're going to have to lay aside now every weight. And there are things that can slow all of us down. You know, the worst thing that we can do to run the race is bring in the baggage from the past. You know what I mean? What could have been, should have been, might have been. Listen, tomorrow's gone. And, you know, we've all done things we wish we'd have never done or had done, right? But you can only live today. You can't live tomorrow. Tomorrow's not here yet. So you have to lay that baggage aside. Also, one of the worst things we can do is try to run this race with our own strength. What did Jesus tell us in John 15:5? He says, without me, you can do nothing. And then there's the race of, and this one, sometimes I feel this way, and sometimes I'm sure you feel this way, but it's not true. And that is running the race of faith, but you feel you're running alone all by yourself. Boy, you know, that can really affect us. Did you know that? See, we're never run alone. Amen? When we get over to chapter 13 of Hebrews, I think it's verse 5 and so forth right there, it says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. The Lord is always with us. Amen? And so running the race, another weight is that of wrong thinking. You've got to get your mind right. Remember that movie Cool Hand Luke? You ever seen it? Never mind. It was on Nitwit. Watched it the other day. Anyway, where was I going? Oh, wrong thinking. In other words, if you're going to run a race, you have to know how to run it. You have to think right. Is that right? So Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's a biggie right here. In other words, if you're going to run a race, you got to run it with the right people, not the wrong people. The Bible tells us in, was it 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I don't know, 6:14? You know, don't yoke yourself up with unbelievers. I mean, one's in darkness and one is in the light. One has an old nature, a fallen nature, and the other has a new nature. Amen? How in the world can you run together? You can't do that. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be deceived. That's a good word. Okay? Evil companionship corrupts good morals or good habits. So you have to be careful, because I tell you, if they're not yoked up with Jesus and you're trying to get them to run, they're not going to run with you. They're going to run over you. And the other biggie is worry. Worry can kill you. Worry can stop you in the tracks. Amen? Amen? Yes. In other words, what did Jesus say? He said, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about the thing that we're most consumed with, our lives. And he said, don't worry about what you're going to put on, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, da-da-da-da-da. And he goes down and he says in Matthew 6:33, he says, here's what you need to do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? Amen. All the things you need in life. And the other thing that can really weigh you down, that you need to get rid of, and I tell you, it can weigh me down, and I have to say no. God's in control. I know I've read the last book of the Bible. I know how it's going to, I know, you follow me. And that is running with the weight of the condition of the world in your heart. Can't do it. It'll just weigh you down. Here's what you need to fill your heart with. Don't fill it with the things of this world. Fill it with the Word of God. Amen? Psalm 119, verse 11 teaches us, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God. What did Jesus say about weights? He said in Luke 21:34, he says, take heed, warning, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And that day, when he returns, meaning, and that day comes upon you unexpectedly. Just a couple more. And this is very important. Nothing weighs down a believer like false teaching. Man, listen, you need to be a Berean, and you need to study to show thyself approved unto God. Study the Word of God. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Listen, false teaching is junk food. Do you understand? I mean, if you get false teaching into your heart, it takes you out of the race. It takes you away from the plan of God and takes you in another direction. Do you know that? That's what false teaching does. So that's why it's important to study and know what you believe in. You need sound, healthy doctrine. Jesus said in John 8:32, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. And that's what we all need. But there is one weight before we leave the weights, one weight that we will have and we need. Let me read it to you. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart. We don't faint. We don't quit. We don't give up. We're not discouraged, even though our outward man is what? Perishing." And it is. Take a look in the mirror. If you don't believe, then go back and look at your picture when you were 18. You'll see how you're perishing, man. Okay? He says, "But the inward man is being renewed day by day." Here it comes. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," he says, "is working for us in a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." That's the glory we want. Amen. Think about it. The exceeding, you can't measure it, the exceeding weight of eternal glory, which you cannot measure, and it belongs to you. Loved one, that's what we want. That's the only weight that we want in our life. Now, let's learn to run by looking at the scripture, the next verse there, or the same verse, but where it says, "And," we're going to lay aside these weights, "and the sin which so" what? "Easily ensnares," or "so easily encircles," or "entangles," or "trips us up," or literally, another translation, "so easily ambushes the Christian." Now, what is the sin that so easily ensnares a Christian, no matter the generation? Man, it's very important. Now, listen to me carefully. This is vital. It's not just any sin. This sin that is mentioned here, it says the sin, which means a specific sin, loved one. Let me give you a description about this sin. This sin is so totally wicked, it disables the runner. You'll never run. You'll never finish the race of faith. Heaven will be your home, but you'll never finish the race of faith. It disables the believer. Not only that, this sin is so destructive that all of mankind perished in the days of Noah, and only 8 people, including Noah, of course, entered into the ark. Amen? Oh, that's what you call destructive. It's so deceptive, this sin, that the children of Israel, they preferred slavery, they preferred going back into Egypt than to go into the promised land. It is so deceptive. Listen now, over 2 million people, the children of Israel, they refused to enter into the land of Canaan. God had promised them that they refused to do that. And this sin is so damning that multitudes in every generation have chosen in their hearts to remain in Adam, and in Adam all die, and they enter into a Christless eternity. This sin, loved one, is so demonic that it robs Christians of the promises of God. This sin is so dark and devilish that it broke the heart of Jesus Christ our Lord. Matter of fact, it says in John 11:35, it made Jesus weep. It says Jesus wept. Why did he weep? John 11:40, let me read it to you. "And Jesus said unto Martha and to Mary," remember Lazarus was dead and he was in the tomb, remember? "And Jesus spoke unto them earlier," previously, before that ever happened. "And he said, oh, listen, did I not say to you that if," there's a condition, "if you would only believe," just believe what I'm telling you, "that you would see the glory of God." See, Jesus was weeping because they didn't believe he was able. They looked and he was unable to do it. Listen, unbelief, if you've heard me teach over the years, is a cruel, false god. It is wicked. And loved one, listen, it demands that you never trust the true and living God. It demands that you never trust the certain, sure, immutable word of the living God. Don't do that. It's so damning, it makes you, where you come out and you say, you give thanks for your provision that you did it when God's the one who does it. You follow me?
Pastor Bill will conclude this message tomorrow, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thank you so much for beginning your week with us. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.